Let us pray. And now, most holy Father, as we look past this holiday which has just gone by, and as we continue to look towards the future, towards the return of your Son, give us the grace and understanding to feel rightly towards these events. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. If you look in your hymnals at hymn number 99, it's a very famous, and I would submit it's possibly the most famous of all Christmas songs. You'll hear it played in the shopping malls. You'll hear it played in all of the department stores. You may even hear it sitting at McDonald's eating your hamburger for lunch. It's so much a famous Christmas song that it's simply become a part of our culture. But if you look in your hymnal at the top right-hand corner of that piece, it says, from Psalm 98. And one of the interesting things about this psalm is it has nothing to do with the first coming of Messiah, the King. It has nothing to do with the Christmas holiday itself. And so we will look this morning at what the psalm specifically is dealing with. You'll note that this hymn is written by a man named Isaac Watts. And Isaac Watts was an English man. And for those of you interested, he's brought up in the home of a non-conformist. He was not a part of the Church of England. And his father was also thrown in prison multiple times for his views. As a young boy, he was trained in Latin and Greek and Hebrew. And as a child, he displayed great potential for poetry and verse. And at times, he put so much things into poetry that it made his parents angry. There was one time where he was caught during family prayers with his eyes open. And so his parents were asking him why his eyes were open. And so he made up a little poem on a spot, and he said, "A little mouse for want of stairs ran up a rope to say his prayers." And for this response, he received a spanking. In response to the spanking, he wrote, "O Father, do some pity take, and I will no more verses make." Isaac Watts grew up and became a pastor, and he wrote hundreds of hymns for his congregation.
Isaac Watts,
One of the things he did was he took the entire book of Psalms and he placed it into English meter to be sung. But the interesting part about his English Psalms is he translated them from a New Testament Christian perspective. He was rewriting these Psalms, stating if David himself had been a Christian in these times, how would these Psalms be written? He also wrote some of the best love hymns in our own hymnal, including number 28, We're Marching to Zion. Number 267, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun. He wrote number 19, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, number 203. And When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, which is number 216. And even some more. Joy to the World itself is a paraphrase of this 98th Psalm. And the 98th Psalm is really a psalm of the coming of Messiah the King to rule and reign on earth. And indeed, when Jesus came, He did come to rule and to reign. But we know, standing on this side of the cross, that someday He will return to rule and reign again. And thus, this psalm is really speaking of that time in the future which is to come. And this is what is known as the blessed hope of the believer. And so this morning, I would like us to examine, as a Christian church, how we are to respond to this hope. And so, Psalm 98, verse 1 states, O sing unto the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm, has gotten Him the victory. And so the psalm really begins with the command for the believer to rejoice. The command here is for the believer to sing. And he says to sing a new song. And this is not necessarily like a new song that's never been written before. It's like hearing a fantastically beautiful piece of music for the first time. It's like going to hear the Minnesota Orchestra and the choirs singing Handel's Messiah. And being freshly caught up in the rapture of the music. The song thus has the wonder and majesty and grace, and it has not been spoiled by the boringness of familiarity. And this is frequently a problem that can happen in Christian churches. We have our set number of songs that we like to sing. And as the English saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. And so in singing a song like Joy to the World or O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our help while life shall last in our eternal home. We often sing it like, O God, our help in ages past. And instead of deeply feeling the truth of the music, and feeling the rich theology that's put into song, we sing as if it doesn't mean anything to us. But the psalmist says that a response is to sing the song as if we've heard it for the first time. As if it's the first time we've sung the words that grip the heart and soul. The reason is given in the second half of verse 1. It says that He has done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm has gotten Him the victory. And here there are two reasons that are listed. The first reason is the works of God. It says, He has done marvelous things. And so the psalmist is then going to list the things that God has done. And the first thing is that His right hand, His holy arm, has gotten Him the victory. The right hand within Scripture is the hand of power, the hand of strength. The New Testament puts it this way, that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. The holy arm, He's now describing this hand. It's described as holy, unique. It's not like anything else. And it's the attribute that makes God who He is. So this right hand has given God the victory. We next see the psalmist's reflection in verses 2 and 3. And the psalmist reflects on two different aspects of what God has done. The first thing is that he reflects on God's revelation. And in verse 2 it says, The Lord hath made known His salvation. And here the psalmist is speaking of the physical salvation for Israel that's coming in the end. When He comes back as king, Israel is going to be in a very, very perilous situation. The people and the nations of the earth are going to be doing battle royal against them. And it seems to be that the nation of Israel is going to be wiped off of the face of the planet.
当时的情形就像以色列这个民族就会从这个地球上面被完完全全的抹掉。
And according to the prophets, Jerusalem will be under siege.
按照先知他们预言的，耶路撒冷会被围攻。
The people will be dying.And in the book of Revelation, it appears as if, you know, about 1/6 of the population is left. But at exactly the right moment, Messiah the King comes down riding on the horse in the clouds. And he delivers his nation in a visible, physical, and violent manner. And so God reveals his salvation openly. The second thing he reveals, it says in verse 2, His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Now this term and concept of righteousness deals specifically with the idea of justice. He is coming as the righteous judge. And justice within the pages of Scripture is retribution. You get what you deserve. For those who have treated Israel well, and in doing so have faith in the blessings of God, there's joy and righteousness and peace as a reward. For those who have done war and persecuted and damaged the people of God, there is suffering and death and destruction. And such is the righteousness of God. It will no longer be something that people pray for and wait for to happen in the future. It will be something visible on the face of the planet. But not only does the psalmist reflect on God's revelation, he also reflects on the fact that God remembers. As verse 3 says, God, He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, these two words, mercy and truth, this word mercy in the Old Testament is used very specifically to describe the covenant love and loyalty that God has for His people. That God swore to Abraham that through his line all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That He swore to David that someone would sit upon that throne. That as He swore through Jeremiah, through Ezekiel, and Hosea, that one day He would restore the nation to its glory and give all of them a new heart. And the one true living God of heaven made a promise
真神在天上的真神他启示说
And this term mercy here is the term that God will keep that promise, and the psalmist says that he remembers that.
这边就是这位诗人他说的神他纪念他记得住他启示那发的慈爱。
And so God has not forgotten what he has promised to his people.
神没有忘记他向他的百姓所启示的慈爱。
And this term truth,
第二这个词信实
the term truth here is the correspondence of these events to the real world.
这个信实就是这些事件相对应的对这个现实当中所相对应的。
In the mind of God,
在神的意念里面
He has so planned the future,
他计划了将来的一切的事情
and so ordained the events of the universe,
预定了宇宙当中一切的事情发生
that the future events in the mind of God are so certain, He speaks of them as if they've already happened.
将来要发生的事在神的意念当中是如此的确定，所以说他说起来的时候就像已经发生了一样。
And so he has remembered his truth.
所以说他纪念他的信实。
And so there is certainty of events here.
所以说这里的每一件事情都是确定的。
And so the psalmist begins with a command to rejoice in verse 1.
所以说诗人他在第一节他讲到了一个命令，就是说要欢欣。
And in verse 4, he reiterates his command to rejoice.
然后第四节他重新再讲这个命令，就是要欢欣快乐。
He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. Make a loud noise, rejoice and sing praise.
他说全地都要向耶和华欢乐，要发起大声欢呼歌颂。
And here the command expands really from the people of Israel. And it expands to all of the people within the earth. It expands to Gentile nations. It expands in our day and age to the church. That the church of God, in response to truth,
就是神的教会让他知道了真理以后,
in response to the fact that Messiah the King, Jesus, is coming,
他回应耶稣基督会重来, 这个受膏的王会重来的这样一个真理以后,
this is an event of great joy.
这是一个值得极大欢欣的一件事情。
And really, let's think this through a moment. Why ought we to have joy for this? Can you imagine living without physical pain anymore? Can you imagine living without sinning anymore? Can you imagine seeing your faith become sight? To visibly see the one whom you have never seen before? That the one who is the express image of God, who visibly and physically revealed God on earth, to stand before him and see him face to face, is that not cause for rejoicing? And so he repeats the command in verse 4.
在第四节他重复这个命令。
The first command here is to shout.
第一个命令是你要发起大声。
It's a word that's often used in terms of battle.
就是在经常是在打仗当中你会用到的一个词。
Such as the shout of an army.
像一个军队大声的来叫。
It's often used by the victors at the end of a battle.
也是在一个战争，一场战斗取胜了以后要用到的。
in the sense of a shout of victory.
就是得胜的欢呼。
You can imagine the contemporary equivalents.
你可以想象现在的一些类似的一些情形。
Explosions of great joy.
就是极大的欢欣这样爆发出来。
For those of you who enjoy sports,
那些你们喜欢体育的人。
You go to a baseball game.
你们去到一个 baseball game 里面。
And your favorite team is down by 3 points.
然后你最喜欢的队现在落后三分。
It's the bottom of the ninth inning.
然后第九场已经快打完了，就是整场比赛要打完了。
The bases are loaded.
然后所有的 base 上面都有人。
Joe Mauer gets up to bat.
然后 Joe Mauer 他开始击打了。
He swings.
然后挥动球棒
and he sends a home run all over the 400 foot fence.
然后他打出一个反垒打
scoring 4 runs and winning the game.
然后你喜欢的队得了四分
You can imagine the crowd that's sitting there.
你可以想象坐在那里的一些观看的人
and the screams of joy when that happens.
因为欢呼大声的尖叫了
And so the command here is to shout.
所以你的命令是你要欢呼
The second command is to rejoice.
第二个命令是要欢乐，要欢欣。
This is a musical term.
实际上这里是一个音乐上的词。
Of an explosion of emotion.
就是你爆发出来这样的一个音乐。
And then it says with the voice of a psalm.
然后这里说要用诗歌的声音。
Sing praises.
诗歌的声音来歌颂。
And this term to sing praise is really to play it on musical instruments.
这里实际上就是说要用乐器来演奏出来。
And so there's well-ordered music here.
这里是有非常有秩序的音乐。
And the response is listed in verses 5 through 8.
从第五到第八节是这边的回应。
Verse 5, it says, with joyful music.
第五节说用欢乐的音乐。
It says, sing to the Lord with a harp, the harp, the voice of a psalm.
说要用琴歌颂耶和华，用琴和诗歌的声音歌颂他。
This word harp is denoting musical instruments. We're not exactly sure which musical instrument this is.
这边的琴是在讲的就是要用某些乐器，我们尽管不太明确的知道是什么样的乐器。
And so there are good reasons for having musical instruments within our church worship services. And here in verse 5 it says with the voice of a psalm. And the translation should actually be with the voice of singing. And within the text of scripture, singing is an integral part to the Christian religion.
在圣经里面，我们可以看到诗歌是基督教这个宗教里面一个很内在的一部分元素。
We are commanded to sing and to rejoice.
我们被要求要唱诗歌，要欢欣。
Verse 6, we have triumphant worship.
第六节，我们这边有一个得胜的这样的一个崇拜。
It says, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King.
说用号和角声在大君王耶和华面前欢呼。
And so the trumpets here are really the instrument that calls men to battle.
号声是召集人们去打仗。
And the cornet here is the instrument that was used in the ancient world to call people to worship.
角声在古代的时候是召集人们来崇拜。
If you've seen the old pictures, it's the curved ram's horn that's being played by the priests.
你可以看到一些照片，你可以看到就是那些祭司们他们拿一个弯着羊角这样做成的乐器。
And so we have triumphant music played before Yahweh King.
我们这边看到在大君王耶和华面前有得胜的音乐演奏出来。
We have geographical worship in verse 7 and 8.
在第七、第八节，我们可以看到地理上各种各样的在欢呼。
It says, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands and the hills be joyful together.
所以说愿海和其中所充满的澎湃，世界和住在其间的也要发声，愿大水拍手，愿诸山在耶和华面前一同欢呼。
So if you live on a boat in the ocean,
如果你在大海里面一艘船上，
If you live in a house in Eden Prairie,If you live next to the Mississippi River, if you live up off in the hills in a small farm somewhere, no matter where you live and where you are in your life, the command is still the same to be joyful together.
这边的命令仍然是要一起来欢呼。
And so everyone dwelling on this earth at one point will be singing praises to this king.
所有住在地上的人在有一个时间会一同在王面前欢呼。
And we're singing these praises because as a result God is the just judge.
我们这样的欢呼是因为神他是
Look what verse 9 says.
It
says, Before the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. God is ultimately a God of justice. And when the Messiah returns, he will judge the world with justice. Let me take a brief moment to explain what this justice means. As a just God, God cannot at all accept sin into his presence. Do you remember what Paul stated in Romans chapter 6 verse
23?
He says the wages of sin is death. This is justice. What you deserve for your offense of God is death, eternal spiritual death. Separation from God. But the problem is, according to Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and therefore all are deserving of death. And when Messiah, the King, came the first time, he solved the problem that man had. There was no access between man and God. But as Jesus was the perfect man, and the infinite God, in his death on the cross, he paid for that justice. Justice was satisfied at the cross. And your sins can be forgiven on the basis of what Christ has done. And all you have to do is trust him and believe in him for that. And thus, the justice of God for you is satisfied in the death of Christ. Is this not cause for rejoicing? Your sins can be forgiven. Justice will be done on this earth. God's wrath against you has been satisfied. And you can have life eternal. Rejoice. The price has been paid. And rejoice. He's coming again. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for teaching us in your word how we ought to respond. It is easy in our lives to look at deep things and theological facts. And to walk away from them unchanged. But Father, may we be like the psalmist, whose heart finds this truth comforting. And who explodes in praise towards you because of it. Give us the grace to learn to praise you like that. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen.